Hey, Nerd Talk Nation, this is your host, Jordan Halstead, and co-host, Micah Current. Today, we are getting to the finally long-awaited moment. We're going to be talking about Daredevil, the Netflix series, seasons 1-3. Micah, before we get into this, how many times have I told you, you got to watch this show? Like, was this something that I've highly promoted or not promoted a whole lot with you?
I mean, you're not the only person, but yes, you promoted it a ton.
Daredevil, he is one of my all-time favorite characters. Him and Captain America and Spider-Man are my top three in the MCU and Marvel as a whole. But what I love about this is that, like, Daredevil had Ben Affleck back in the 2003, I want to say.
It's two or three, I don't remember.
Yeah, right in there. It wasn't the greatest movie. It was okay. I didn't care for it, but I remember having this, like, Daredevil shirt, and I thought it was the coolest thing, and I love Daredevil. And then they dropped season one when I was in like late high school, early college year, something like that. And I just absolutely loved Daredevil season one. And then season two came out and I was still in college. And then season three, it came out and I think I was out of college. I think that was like 2018-ish.
It's 2017,
2018. Okay. So I remember Daredevil season three coming out and I was just like, oh, so good. And it just, I think the way they took the character was just really, really well done. So before I gush even further, what were your thoughts going in? Because you just finished the series today, right? About an hour ago?
Yes, the whole shebang.
The whole shebang. So leading into this, what were your initial thoughts? And then coming out of it, what do you feel the series deserves? Like what kind of love, what kind of disrespect do you want to show this show?
Disrespect.
Like, well, I haven't talked with you. And I told you as we were talking offline before getting into this episode, I want to know like hot take in the moment. Like what is your thoughts? Cause I was like, I don't know if you're going to like it. I don't know if you're not going to like it. I don't know where you stand with it at this moment. So let's talk about it. What did you think?
So just a little backstory quickly. I started this show about a year and a half ago. Like I think a year and a half, year and a half ago, Alicia and I started watching it and we got through season one and I was like, this is just not for me. Like the show's too bloody. It's too violent. It's too, but like that's the character as we, you know, we'll unpack in just a little bit. The character of Daredevil is very violent and he's very much a masochist in that sense of the word. He likes pain, he likes torture, he likes dishing it, he likes receiving it. It's just, that's just who the character of Daredevil is. So I watched season one and I think we did a podcast on season one, if I'm not mistaken, but like I let it rest probably for a year before diving into it again. And I just to kind of pick up where I left off, I ended up watching like, I don't know, two or three seasons of season, or I'm sorry, two, three seasons. There are three seasons, two or three episodes of season one, just to kind of do like a recap and then dived into seasons two and three. Unpopular opinion, probably with you. I thought season one was stellar. I thought season two was good, but not great. But if you're a fan of The Punisher, then you're going to love it. But season three picked up where season one left off for me. I thought that the writing was – it just felt like the writing was kind of equal in seasons one and three. And in season two, it kind of felt sort of like, you know, how we've done podcasts about The Mandalorian and the Book of Boba Fett and stuff. And it's like recently Star Wars has done this thing where it's like, oh – we're telling this story, but by the way, we're going to take a little detour in the middle of the season. And then we're going to get back on course and we're going to finish that main story. You know, when a great example is in Mandalorian, when Boba Fett shows up or when Ahsoka shows up or in the Book of Boba Fett there, we joked about, is this Mandalorian season 2.5? When basically two episodes of the five or six episodes of Boba Fett were literally just Mandalorian episodes, but in the Book of Boba Fett show. But, you know, for example, in season two of Daredevil, they very heavily focus on Punisher in the second season, in the first part of the second season, and they bring in Elektra and they talk about, you know, they're setting up the Defenders series. And we haven't done an episode on the Defenders, but like, you're very much getting early stages of the Defenders. And if you've watched the Defenders, you know that they bring back Elektra. Even though she's died, the Hand brings her back in the series, the Defenders. But it was cool to see Matt Murdock, have a love interest and kind of see how that ties in with Elektra. But like, I wasn't a big fan of season two, but season three, as I said, I just finished it. Or as you said, I just finished it today. And, I was pleasantly surprised with how it ended. I wasn't sure how they were going to end it. And let me say this too. As I'm gushing about it in real time, the idea of not knowing what was going to happen, because you watched this in real time. I didn't. I've seen things like Hawkeye, and I've seen things like Echo, and I've seen things like She-Hulk, and you know that Daredevil comes back, and you know that Kingpin comes back. And so you're like, all right, they're not going to die, but what's going to happen to them? Right. And so that kind of made me want to fuel the fire for me to finish the show even more, because I wanted to know what happened to Daredevil, and I wanted to know what happened to Kingpin, you know, as well as Karen and Foggy and the rest of them. It was interesting. I mean, I don't know what other questions you want to ask me, but it was interesting to really see how they were actually going to get Kingpin in the end. Like, I've never seen a villain written better than Kingpin. I think Vincent D'Onofrio is Kingpin, and if they ever replace him, God help them, because he's done such a masterful job at that character.
Yeah.
Same thing with Charlie Cox as Matt Murdock from Daredevil. Like, the two are just two peas in a pod. Stellar actors. They are the character. I just can't get enough. So what else do you want to ask? Or, you know, now that we're, I think the last thing I'll say quickly before we dive in further is that, like, in season three, something that I didn't, it's weird because my good friend Chad from work, who I reference often on our show, is a huge Daredevil fan. He was like, you've got to watch it. He pushed me just about as much as you did. And so I started watching it and kind of like, you know, kind of walking him through my journey as I was watching it. And the one thing I'll say that, like, towards the end of season three, I'm like, are they going to get him? Like, every time they're this close to getting him, they keep killing the next person that knows. Like, it's just so, like, it's incredible to think that, like, somebody has that much power. And just like Agent Nadim, right? And like the episode before the very last episode, when they're like, well, you know, well, he's dead. I guess all hope is lost, right? But like, the cool part now that the show is over is that, like, you can watch him back to back to back, and you don't have to wait a week or whatever to watch them. And you know that in the finale that you know, Agent Nadim films a video, and ultimately they're able to take down Kingpin. So go ahead.
Yeah, you know, you hit on a there is. So and what's funny is, like, each season was what, 13 episodes?
Yeah, 39 total episodes. But the other thing too is that they're a solid hour. We're not talking like a Netflix show 43 minutes. They're a solid hour each, 55.
This is like a full work week in one show. Mm-hmm. And that's not including his Defenders run.
Yes.
So like if you add in those 8 episodes, that's over a full work week, like, being put into this. And what I think is really cool is the way that they handled this character, because not only are you building a character like Daredevil, you're also setting up things like his suit and his billy club and the helmet and like very iconic things about Daredevil. Like, hey, I need a suit. Well, I'm running around basically as a blind ninja right now for the first season. And then the very end, they show the suit.
Yeah.
And I was like, And I was like, I love this. I hope that's not how they handle everything, because that would drive me absolutely nuts, because it's a very slow, but it's a methodical way of handling this character. And they danced around certain thing, and they did enough with it that really grabbed our attention. And they like, hey, can you help me build a suit? I'll protect you if you can fix this. Hey, I got shot in the head and it put a big old crack right down the middle. Well, I can mend it, but I'm going to have to build you a new one. Like there were so many cool things about, like, because it felt very much like Iron Man, where Iron Man is like buffing out this part of his suit versus Captain America, who throws a disc and then he catches it back and defies the laws of physics. Like it's different. And I love this character, and I love how he's got the billy club that basically is like Spider-Man shooting webs, because he can do it and chuck it, but then it also has like the retractable rope in there. I was like, oh, it was just so cool. So
what I'll say real quick about the suit before you go any further is, like, one of the things, like, just watching this show in like a big clump all at once over the last couple of weeks, is that I enjoyed that he was in the ninja suit, right? And they build to the suit, and then he wears the suit for a little bit, and then, you know, we introduce Bullseye and his suit's, you know, taken, for example. But then what I really enjoyed was the fact that he kind of went back to his roots, and he went back to the ninja thing, and that's how they kind of concluded the series. And then when you see him in things like Echo and She-Hulk and stuff, there's different iterations of the suit in the future tense. But go ahead.
Well, and that's what I'm hoping they'll do as Born Again, is that he went through the trials of season 3 and he is a new man. He has been born again, like playing off of, because if he's got massive Catholic roots,
which is another thing that I enjoyed. I love the religious tie-in to the show.
Well, and I loved even more than just the religious spot, the struggling with his religion. Mm-hmm. That was huge. Because there's so many people out there, like, we get to talk about our religion all the time. That's we're not afraid to. It's not a big deal. But for other people, it is a big deal. And it was just so cool to see how he struggled with it. And he ran into certain problems, and there were things that he had to face. And I was like, oh, man, this is just so good. And the writing was just awesome.
Well, think of the trials we face in life, and the fact that, like, he was literally pinned against the wall. Like, everything he knew was on the line, and, you know, he was going to kill Fisk, and, like, he just didn't. Like, even in that moment, as hot tempered as he was, it could have got the better of him, and he could just, you know, snapped his neck and it could have been done. But, you know, knowing what we know, like, we have to keep him alive so that we can keep going with this story, which is, like you've always said over the years, is don't kill the villain. The religion thing, like, the connection that he had to his priest, and the connection to the nun, which we later find out that is, you know, that's his mother. And the reality is that she was able to watch over him for a period of time, even though, like, you know, in like, kind of like protective custody, but not so to speak, but like from a kid, you know, to an adult. And even the, you know, learning that she is his mother, and then he struggles with that, not knowing, and then is able to forgive her ultimately at the end. Like you said, though, it's just brilliant writing.
It is. And I think not enough people will give this a chance for the sole fact that it's too gory. It's mm-hmm. too, it's a TVMA. And I'm like, people absolutely love characters like Deadpool and Spider-Man and Captain America, and like it's this wide range, and I'm like, Daredevil has to be aggressive.
I will say, though, that after season one, it kind of it's still gory and violent, but it's not nearly as bad as season one. I think season one is the worst.
Season one was rough, I can say that much.
I think where Alicia and I took a break was when Fisk is like slamming that guy's head in the door and his brain just falls out on the pavement, and I'm like, well, that just happened. And we're just like, we don't like watching like NCIS or Law and Order or anything like that. It's just, we don't watch a lot of law or crime shows. But yeah, go ahead.
I just, it was handled very, very well. And I love the way that they took these characters and brought them to life and brought like people like Foggy and Karen and really made them something special to think about. And I was like, man, that's awesome. And I just, the characters were done really well, but the story, like I've argued this since Endgame, because a lot of people hate stuff post Endgame. Well, I'll say Far From Home, because I think we all can agree that Far From Home was pretty stellar. I think that a lot of people are not realizing the story that needs to happen. Madam Web got a lot of crap because the story is not what it's supposed to be. Like it's not even coming from a normal comic. Like they're just adapting comic book characters to a movie. I think if you can take storylines and story elements and adapt them to cinematic formats or to silver screen format, like you will do way better. Is it silver screen? No, silver screen is the theater. TV or movie, whichever way you want to handle it, like characters like Moon Knight. I think that was done really, really well. I know that a lot of people have crap with it because it didn't follow exact, because he's, I think, stationed in New York. But I'm like, they're trying to get away from everybody being in New York. So,
you and I have both said New York's a pretty big place. So, like, there's plenty of room for everybody.
Absolutely. And there's, I think what was cool about Daredevil was the devil of Hell's Kitchen. And none of the other Defenders were there. Right. The only other time that one of the superheroes showed up was
Punisher.
Punisher shows up and then Elektra.
Yeah.
So a couple of those characters, but then like Luke Cage is in Harlem. I don't remember where Iron Fist and Jessica Jones were, but they're gallivanting around the city, and New York City it's massive. So like, yeah, it's cool to see all these characters interacting with each other, but you can still tell a story without having to pull other characters in. And I thought I'm gonna ask this question. If the MCU had acknowledged Netflix early on and said that these are the characters that we're gonna build off of, these are the actors and actresses that are gonna play these characters moving forward, who would you have liked to see in this series from the MCU?
I mean, that's a great question. I'd have loved to have seen Hawkeye show up.
Oh, that'd have been cool.
I would have loved to see, Kate Bishop and Hawkeye, like somewhere in the background. Like, I love what they've done post the Netflix universe, like, and how they're tying those characters in to what we know now. But if it was, like you said, canon and everything like that, I would fully embrace Hawkeye, Spider-Man, Kate Bishop.
I would have loved to have seen Iron Man flying to the Avengers Tower, like even in the background.
Yeah, I was just thinking Iron Man too.
Like Iron Man would be a really fun character because, like, Captain America
or Tony Stark needs a lawyer, right?
And
Matt Murdock could be his lawyer.
you have Foggy and Matt come in and meet with Pepper, and you just say, "All right, hey, or Mr. Happy. Stark needs a lawyer." Yeah. Well, I think with the you could easily have Happy driving Pepper, and then he's just like, "All right, listen, like I'm in charge of security. I got to make sure that she's taken care of. This is what's going down, and we got to protect Stark Industries at this moment. Can you guys were recommended, or maybe they are someone against Stark, and Stark's on the other side of the room. Like that would have been really cool." I think like from my favorite book, Civil War, like there's moments where Cap and Daredevil are on the same side. And I think it would have been really cool to see how they handled Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, everything went down in Germany. Like if they would have shown up, that would have been really cool. And I'm like, oh, big missed opportunities. Or like if you see the Winter Soldier like lurking around, like that would have been cool too.
But I think on the other hand, though, like Daredevil, the series aside, like the whole Netflix universe is kind of interwebbed, right? Like, right? Because like you have Jessica Jones, you have Luke Cage, you have Iron Fist, you have
it's a Punisher, small MCU.
Defenders. You have Daredevil, and like in the very last episode of Daredevil, like they're talking about adding Karen to the attorneys at law at the end when he writes it on a napkin. Foggy writes it on a napkin. He's like, he wrote Murdoch, Nelson, and Page, didn't he? And they laugh, and Foggy's like, well, what do you think? And he's like, she's no Jessica Jones. So like, they're acknowledging, and I mean, like I said earlier, Punisher and Elektra are in season two of Daredevil. And then when you get to the Defenders series, everybody's in it but the Punisher. And so like, everything is like interwoven. And like you said, it's its own little, not multiverse, but universe of Netflix, of Marvel characters. And to be honest, like, I think that they did that at the time because they could get away with the blood and the violence and the TVMA and the stuff that Disney didn't want to do. And it's funny now, 10 years later, they're acknowledging it and it's canon, and that it's, you know, Echo got a TVMA, Deadpool's going to be rated R, Deadpool 3. Deadpool and Wolverine is going to be rated R, and the Daredevil Born Again series is going to be rated TVMA. So like, moving forward, you're going to get this stuff. Like, there are ways around it. I mean, like, you said something about being in high school, going into college. I'm like, your parents let you watch this?
Well, okay. You said 2015 is when it came out. Yep. So I was in college. I was in college, okay, when the first one dropped.
So like, but like, there are ways to keep your kids from watching these shows. So like, there's path codes, and you don't have to let your kids watch stuff, and you can put parental discretion on, you know, your stuff. And, you know, you're not going to sit down with Ollie and watch Daredevil.
That's very true.
What else do you want to talk about? I mean, I know we can go all over the place with it, but
we can. And that's,
I do have a question though, before you dive into the next thing. We know that Kingpin shows up in Hawkeye. We know that Kingpin shows up in Echo, and we know that he's going to be in Born Again. We're presuming that he is going to run for mayor of New York City, and they're going to run the comic book of him being the mayor of New York and maybe Matt Murdock being the vice mayor and them kind of like coexisting. How does Fisk get out of prison again? Are they going to tell that in Born Again? Do you think they're going to tell that in Born Again? Like, how does he get out? And what we see is Hawkeye, and then, you know, moving.
I bet it will be a flip to the blip. Okay, I think that they're gonna say something about
the blip. As I said that, and I was like, oh, the blip. But still, yeah, that doesn't explain how he gets out of prison.
Well, I wonder if there might have been something where he got out, and because there's so much chaos, they didn't even worry about it. That everybody was like, where the heck happened? And maybe Vanessa was gone in the blip, or she was killed right after. Cause I don't think they're going to continue with Vanessa, which makes me sad. Cause I really liked the way that Vanessa was in there.
Especially how she kind of adapts to his lifestyle at the end.
Yeah. Cause I don't think that's really ever been like the comic book route. Now, I could be wrong, but I don't think that's really been where they've handled that character in the past. So, but no, I liked it. I think and I'm not entirely sure that the Matt Murdock that we saw in the Netflix universe is going to be the Matt Murdock that is here in the MCU. Does that make sense? Like, I know that they're saying, oh yeah, it's the same. I honestly think this might be like a version, so that way they can undo some things that they did in Netflix, since Netflix doesn't run this show, and Disney does.
But what would they undo?
Well, I mean, like, the hammer was different than the one he actually beat his dad with. Like, there's small things that I've already started to notice. Like, in Echo, he tries to give the hammer to Maya. Yeah, and trying to hand that to her. And then they've kind of, like, it's just kind of like, hey, I could totally see if they're like, it's loosely off that, like that universe. Cause then they could go in and say, oh, well, we'll keep Mike Coulter as Luke Cage, but we're not going to keep the guy who played Danny Rand. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what they'll do. We'll see kind of where they go with it.
Okay. I was just wondering as I wrap that show up, because it's like, you know that they both live, right? Daredevil and even coming, even before watching the finale of the Daredevil Netflix series, like, you know that they've made appearances in other things like No Way Home and Echo and Hawkeye She-Hulk. And things like that. And She-Hulk. And it's like, oh, they're alive. Obviously post the Daredevil series, you know, how are they going to get there? You know? And honestly, you know, I thought Blip and or Born Again, they're going to tell that story, obviously. Are you worried that they're cutting the episodes and making it shorter?
No.
Okay.
Not one bit.
What I mean by that is, like you said just a moment ago, and I agree with you that, like, it's such a short burn, or I'm sorry, a slow burn throughout this entire run of 39 episodes, that I'm afraid that they're going to rush some things in the Born Again stuff that people aren't even going to realize.
I think moving into Born Again, if they can take the time and just tell a good story, bring the people back and say, okay, here's what we're doing, or even get like Chip Zdarsky, who runs a comic book of Daredevil. He's done multiple Daredevil runs. He's phenomenal. And it's actually during the Chip Zdarsky run that they had the mayor of New York, Kingpin, run. I'm like, bring him in, help have him and his team help with the writing, because that was a very, very good comic book. And if you guys have them as consultants, as writers, like, yes, it's going to look different from a comic book into a movie or a TV format, but you bring some of these really, really well-known writers in and say, okay, this is what we're doing. We want you to help us write this character because we're bringing them off the page. I think that will do so much more than bringing in people like, I saw this thing and I think I sent it to you. They're saying that the reason that the MCU is failing is because they're not having nerds run this anymore. Like, people who don't know the comic book world, like, you're kind of like making the comic book industry a stepping stone now. Like, hey, if you want to make it big and you want to do your own movies, like, that's fine. But like, direct a Marvel movie and you're going to make it big. And then you have certain guys who come in and write movies like Thor: Love and Thunder. And like, he had never seen anything when he wrote Ragnarok. And he's like, oh yeah, this is what I'm going to do. And then he's like, I'll read a comic book after we produce this movie. And I'm just like, no, go read some comics. Like, get an idea of what you're doing, because you don't want it to just be one or two moments. Like, you want to take what's there on this page that stands still and continue to build off of it. So if you get people like Chip Zdarsky, who know these characters, who are very well loved for writing these characters, you go in and say, hey, Chip, would you come in and write part of Daredevil Born Again? Just give us direction of where we need to go and be kind of just on this path with us of what character do we need? Because when you write a comic, you can throw whoever you want into the storylines. And it's a little harder with movies and TV shows, but he would know how to handle some of that of like, hey, you know, this character was in this story, but they were not integral to it, unlike this character. So like, I think about Old Man Logan. Old Man Logan is a great, great book, but Logan, the movie Logan, loosely adapts some of that, but they don't have the Hulk and they don't have Hawkeye and they don't have all these different characters that they need in order to make this thing work. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like, you guys just, you missed the mark. Like, you guys could have done so much better than what you did. And I'm like, oh, that's just where I sit with some of that.
Yeah. Well, so kind of go back to the Daredevil thing, you know, what are some other things you want to talk about? You know, it's like, now that I finished it and you've harassed me to finish it, and I did finish it.
Who was your favorite character?
Main character or side character, or
I will say you can't choose Matt Murdock and Daredevil, and you can't choose Kingpin.
Again, I would ask if it's main character or not main
character. Doesn't matter.
That's a great question. I really like Karen.
Like, the only Karen that we do like.
Yes. Like, and the reason I say that, not because, yes, she's a good looking person, you know, good looking female. I think that her story grows on you as the show, you know, show progresses. Like, she takes you on a ride too. Like, there's this emotional tie that we have with her, and it's like, oh, get a grip, Karen. Like, get yourself together. But then, like, you know, towards the end of season three, there's that episode called Karen, and it talks about how, you know, what happened with her brother and kind of like her origin. And it's no wonder she struggles the way that she struggles. She has a history of drug and alcohol abuse. And, you know, she gets out of her hometown and, you know, ends up in Hell's Kitchen and, you know, really makes a name for herself, both as a reporter and, you know, as an administrator for, or I'm sorry, office manager for, you know, Murdoch and Nelson. When she kills Wesley, it's like, man, that's one of my favorite episodes, because he was a jerk. He was a snot, you know, like, he knew that he was going to get his eventually. And the way that they kind of just like brush that off to the side and let season two happen. And then they bring it back up in season three. And, you know, she tells Matt, she tells Foggy, which, by the way, they didn't really do anything about that. It's just kind of like brushed under the rug with Fisk and getting arrested and going to prison. But yeah, I think Karen, I wouldn't want to say Foggy, because Foggy got on my nerves at times. And that's just his character, I think, just the way they wrote him. Like, he had every right to be mad at this.
You don't love yourself some Foggy Bear? Listen, Foggy Nelson is one of my all-time favorites. I love
everybody.
No. Karen got on my nerves.
Okay, so it's the opposite for you. I think for me, it was mainly just how they wrote him. And he had every right to be upset at his best friend for keeping that from him. He had every right to be upset with how his best friend acted and, you know, couldn't get his head out of his rear end at times. He just, the character, the guy that plays him, I forget what his name is, but he's in the Mighty Ducks and stuff. That's my earliest memory of him. But for me, it just comes off, you know, his character came across as whiny at times.
Okay, I can get behind
and it's that. And it's nothing, there's nothing wrong with, I think what they did with him was great. I thought that, you know, the way they, you know, they wrote him was fine, but the way that he acted was a little bit whiny for me. And that's all. I mean, like, he still had a solid performance throughout the entire show. What about you? Who was your non-Daredevil Fisk character?
Well, I loved Foggy. Foggy was, I really enjoyed the fact that, like, he still worried about Matt across the board. Like, it was just, like, through all three seasons, he may have been mad, he may not have understood, but he's still worried about Matt. And, like, he's trying to be the glue to keep everybody together, and he's trying to do whatever he can, but there's that moment where he broke, and, like, he has to walk away for a little bit. And I love the actor who plays him. He was great. He did it really well. And Foggy, Foggy Nelson, it was really good. So out of the series that's not them, though, because I don't want to just say it's just Foggy, I really liked in season one Ben Urich.
Yeah.
Ben was just a very spectacular storytelling element for Daredevil. And Ben's very much involved. And it was so heartbreaking when they killed him.
Yeah.
Because I'm like,
well, like, no. Towards the end of the whole show, you're like, who else can they kill?
Yeah.
Right?
And like, we talk about how Thor is a character of loss and heartache and all that. And I was like, Daredevil is a character who, like, that show, we'd lose everybody. Nobody's safe.
talk about Bullseye for a minute. You talked about him before.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so I loved the way that they handled him. Like, mm-hmm. It was a slow, methodical torture that Kingpin put him through. And, like, what I loved about this character specifically was every villain in the MCU up until Thanos, maybe? Maybe not Thanos. At least through, like, phases 1 and 2, almost every single one of the villains were creations from the original hero. Almost every single one. So, like, Iron Man created Killmonger. Or not Killmonger. Warmonger. Is that Ironmonger? Ironmonger. Thor created Loki. Captain America was created because of the Red Skull, but very much polar opposites. Hulk.
Wait, you're saying Thor is Loki's dad?
He created Loki? No. Like
you said, I'm being funny. You said Thor created Loki.
Yeah. So going through some of that, gods don't dress like that. But like you go through and you see all these characters where they are created or indirectly created through some of the main cast, where it's like the villain helps create this villain. And like Matt had nothing to do with it. And I loved that. I loved seeing how sometimes things just happen. Because that's the reality, is bad things sometimes just happen. But oh my gosh, just the chucking of things in the right way and getting the bullseye, because that's who he is. Like, I really wanted to see
his struggle with mental health was the reason that Fisk was able to manipulate him. And then even in the end, Daredevil was able to manipulate him in the same way.
Yeah. And I really want to see the old school Bullseye outfit, but they're going to go a different route from what I've been seeing for when they bring him back. And I'm excited that they're bringing him back. So, yeah, I think it'll just be really cool to see these guys come back into play. So,
if you could name your favorite fight scene in the entire series, what would it be? And you can only name one.
Oh. The Punisher the Punisher's fight scene when he's going through the hallway.
The prison?
Yeah.
When Fisk locks him in.
Wrecks everybody.
Yeah, because Fisk tells him to go get somebody, and he kills the guy. No, he doesn't kill him. He just stabs him, because he dies at the end of the episode, because Fisk is just sitting there eating a Salisbury steak, watching the guy as he's on life support, just slowly dying a painful death. But then he locks Punisher in that cell block, has him locked in there, and he just goes crazy and kills everybody. And just leaves everybody a wreck. And then, like, later in that episode, he fights Kingpin. And it's like, and when Kingpin's like slams him on that block, I'm like, does Punisher just not feel pain? And the answer to that is probably no.
He lost his family. He probably doesn't feel a whole lot of anything. Well, so that begs the question. Do you think that season 2 problem will end up paying off into Born Again? Do you think that those two will face off again, or Kingpin will end up facing off with some of the heroes directly? Because I feel like indirectly he's always facing off with them.
I don't know. You didn't ask me what my favorite fight scene was.
What was your favorite fight scene?
I don't know. I feel like it's too easy to say in the last episode. You know, when it's him, Bullseye, and Kingpin just beating each other up in the penthouse. And
beating
then
the snot out of each other.
They go plowing through the drywall. And it's interesting how, like, Daredevil can navigate, like, okay, Vanessa's got to stay alive, but Bullseye's throwing stuff at her. And, like, he's trying to keep her alive while beating up Bullseye and beating up Fisk. And then Fisk is trying to beat up Bullseye and Daredevil. It's just like this perfect fight.
It very much, in a lot of ways, felt like just the nostalgia of
I have the high ground kind of thing. Like, there's just this beautiful dance in episode 3 of Star Wars, and like they're fighting, and I loved seeing adding a third person into the fight, and it felt like a dance.
Well, and he broke his back. Like, Kingpin just slams him against the wall so hard that he breaks his back. And I think that was brilliant too, not that he broke his back, but it stopped him enough that it aimed your attention towards Kingpin and Daredevil. It steered it back towards that direction. But what I also find interesting, like, you know, wrapping up that series, is that, you know, Kingpin's like, I'm never going to stop hunting Karen Page. And, you know, they're all alive. And I read something last week or the week before about Karen Page may die in the Born Again series. Who knows? Maybe that's what they're going towards. And Bullseye's supposed to come back. And yeah, they could go a number of different ways with that story. And if I didn't pick that one, I would probably say the scene where Matt's in the prison and he's trying to make his way out, and he makes a deal with the what's the group of people called, the gang?
I don't remember off the top of my head.
What country are they? They're from a country, and it's gonna be which country they're from. Anyway, he makes a deal with them to get him out, and but you gotta think, the dude's blind and he's making his way through a maximum security prison and beating the snot out of everybody that Kingpin has pinned against him. And he makes it out somehow. And the best part of that's like the taxi driver. He has the taxi driver driving there. He's like, wait here. And like this whole time, the stuff's going on, and he gets back in the taxi and he's bloody and beat and just ripped to shreds. And he's like, let's go.
Like, the guy just doesn't even question it.
He's just like a sucker for pain.
Yeah. The series was just done very, very differently than what we've seen with superheroes at that point in time. And they just handled it very, very well. And I hope that Disney continues to do that, as they now have the full rights to the character.
So you've watched everything else, right?
Netflix-wise. Yeah, I've watched all of it. Yeah.
Is there a show that's equal?
No. Doesn't even come close.
Okay.
I haven't finished. I'll say that.
I've only watched some of the Defenders, like probably 6 of the 8 episodes. I've not finished that, but everything else I've never watched.
So Luke Cage was really, really good in season 1.
The shows are good in season 1. Like Jessica Jones and Luke Cage and Iron Fist are all like 2 seasons. And the first seasons of all of it are really good. And then you get to the second season, and it's like they just stop trying. As if they were just like, well, we're not going to keep going with this, so why try?
Well, I'll be honest. I think that there's partially that. But on the flip side, I think that, like, Luke Cage is not a character that needs multiple seasons in a show. I think that he needed one show or one season. The first season, I think, was great. And then from that point forward, Iron Fist needs to be with him, or Jessica Jones needs to be with him, headlining shows. Because, like, I think Jessica Jones as a PI, I think she could easily run a show. That doesn't bother me. But for like Luke Cage, I think that he does better in the duo with Iron Fist as a Heroes for Hire. And to have other characters. And that's the thing that I really feel Marvel needs to figure out, is who are your A-list, B-list, and C-list characters, and then who are your everyone else that doesn't necessarily need a show. Like, I don't think She-Hulk needs a show. I'm fine with her showing up from now on, but you kind of screwed up that first season. Like, don't continue it. Like, have her just start showing up in Daredevil, because that would be really cool. Like, hey, like, we've got legal trouble here, and oh, we're up against She-Hulk. Fantastic. And like, I think you could have easily done like a Law and Order MCU. I think that would have been really, really cool to see all these characters have to go in and do law versus trying to do comedy. And I think that's what was awful for She-Hulk and like Ms. Marvel. I don't think Ms. Marvel needs a show. I think she needs to be set up, and then you give her cameos everywhere. Captain Marvel, especially with the Marvels, I think that her character really grew in that show or in that movie. But like, does she need to be the headliner? Captain America absolutely can be the headliner. Give him a good supporting cast, he's great. Iron Man, absolutely. Thor, depends on who's directing. Hulk, I don't know that Hulk really needs his own solo outing. I kind of like him as the backup. Falcon now as Captain America, we'll see how that plays out. Scarlet Witch, I don't know. I think her and Vision had such a beautiful chemistry. I think that's what really worked for WandaVision. Was, yes, it's absolutely Wanda show, but like Daredevil, absolutely. He deserves his own show. Spider-Man deserves his own movies. But like all these other Defender characters, I just don't know that they necessarily need their own, if that makes sense.
Well, I was just simply talking about the Netflix universe and just asking if there was anything that compared. Obviously, no, because you know we haven't seen much of any of them since that universe. Where do you think they're going with Hornigan?
To the bank, where they're going to cash a really big check for all the people who are going to start getting back on Disney Plus because it's going to be an amazing show. Genuinely, I think that direction-wise, they're going to have post-blip. I think Spider-Man will show up. It's all rumor, but
didn't he sign up for like so many projects?
So he's got
six movies, so many Avengers movies, and maybe a cameo in Daredevil was what I heard.
Yeah, so that's what I've heard, but I don't know how much is true. I know like they could make the switch and be like, okay, we're gonna throw you in She-Hulk season two or Moon Knight season two. Like I don't know where he'll sit. I think it makes sense to throw him in Daredevil. But like I think that putting him in, setting up Kingpin as the villain where he'll kind of go for mayor. Which I think they're already going that route after watching Echo. I think that that's where they're going. And I don't know if they'll introduce a lot. I just saw a video, because we record this quite a ways out. I saw a video where they put Punisher in there. And he's like lurking behind something. And White Tiger, who they're introducing, is like walking in. And Punisher just like shoots him in the head and just drops him. And I was like, oh, that's exciting. So I don't know. We'll see. But I heard it's potentially dropping at the end of this year.
Yeah.
So, and if that happens, I am just going to be so excited. I love Daredevil. Where do you think it's going to go? Anything you're wanting to see out of it?
I think I'm just kind of cautiously optimistic, just like you are, with how good Netflix handled it. And I mean, I know it's in good hands, but it's like, can they recreate the magic after such a stellar three-season show? My fear is that, like, and we've talked about this on other episodes, is like, well, what about the people that have never watched the Netflix stuff and they're just going to watch Born Again? And it's like, dude, you got to go back and watch the 39 episodes that precedes this. Yeah, I think that's my only concern, really, is that, like, I wonder where they're going to pick up, where they're going to go, where they're going to leave off, as, you know, as we do with any show. But he's such a unique character. Like, where are they going to put him, you know, moving forward?
Absolutely. So. All right, well, one last question before we end this episode. Scale of 1 to 10, where would you rate this? 10 being great, 1 being garbage.
What's your rating? You got to give it a 10. You're going to give it a 10, aren't you?
I'm going to give it a 9.5.
Why?
For the sole purpose that there are a few things that I wish they would have done a little bit better, like giving his suit earlier in season 1. I don't think he needs to be a ninja the entire season. I wish there was a little bit more of the hand. I think that, like, there's just small things that I wish were more influenced, and the fact that it was not originally MCU.
Okay. I'll go 9.5 too. simply because I'm not much into the detective Law and Order blood gory stuff, but I think it was a stellar show and a stellar cast, stellar writing.
And like, I'm looking for things to be picky about with this show. like that's the only reason that I'm not giving it, is just because like there's just minor things that I would have changed. So, all right. Well, Micah, thank you so much for being on this episode. For all of our listeners, thank you for hanging out with us for the past while as we talked about Daredevil. If you haven't checked it out, you can check it out on Disney Plus. Some really, really good stuff there. And later this year or early next year, Daredevil Born Again is slated to be released. We're really excited for that one. And we will catch you all here next time on Nerd Talk.